Thanks very much, Aaron. I will wander a bit as well, so whoever's on the camera, apologies. Just something I always do. It's back to normal tomorrow, isn't it? 5th of January, 6th of January, back to school, apart from everyone at home now is hoping, I hope I have a snow day. For those who are in secondary school, unfortunately, I don't think snow days exist anymore, thanks to online learning and everything like that. But over these last few weeks, what we've all been, you've been off work, you've been at home, you've been sharing time with loved ones, family and friends, and probably, as Aaron said, with New Year's resolutions, quite a few people have probably thought, I'm going to go to the gym. I'll go to the gym for a few weeks. Then I'll have a really expensive card in my wallet. That's not going to do anything for the next 12 months until next year. And you've probably been eating loads of food and just having fun. But every time I do that for a couple of weeks, my body gets a bit of a craving for fruit and veg, actually. I just want something that's not processed, that's just a bit natural. And I love Pink Lady apples, I love strawberries, I love grapes, I love bananas, I love all those things. But they taste so much better when you've not had them for quite a while. And it made me think about, actually, when Aaron asked me a while ago to speak today, it made me think about, actually, the fruits of the Spirit. And I want the church this year to have a really fruitful life. But I thought, if I say that, I want people to have a fruitful life. I know there'll be people saying, he's going to ask us for money. We're going to have to give. It's all about being blessed with our money. And it's not. It's about having a fruitful life and about actually living through the fruits of the Spirit. Because fruit's dead good for you. All the vitamins and the nutrients are dead good. It helps us grow. It helps us maintain our health. It helps us get rid of all the fibre inside us. It helps us get rid of all the waste and rubbish inside our bodies as well. So fruit overall is really good. And I want to start with this. In Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. But there is no law against these things. I don't know about you, but if I had more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in my life would be miles better. Not just my life, the people around me, their life would be so much better. So when I say I want us to have a fruitful life, that's what I mean. And when you look through that list, all fruits have a season. They all, especially in this country, you can get strawberries at this time. You can get certain apples at this time. Now, I know we're very fortunate that I can get tangerines from Valencia and I can get pineapples from wherever pineapples come from and all these different things, and we can get them all the time. But fruit has a season. And if we don't use the fruit at the right time, if you've ever just gone to your fridge and think, oh, I've got a punnet of strawberries in there and you've not anymore, you've just got a pile of mould, it's about using them and getting them done at the right time. And I just want to go through quite quickly, due to time and there being so many of them, the different fruits, but also how they might apply to us and then how we can go away and think about this and apply it in these coming weeks or apply it in this coming month or year and maybe focus on one or two of them. But because of a service and a congregation that's so many, I'm going to go through all of them. And I'm going to give you scripture for each one so you can go away, you can look at it, you can think about it yourself and actually do something with it. So for love, I am going to go to the one that always rattles out in weddings and stuff. But I've got another one as well. The first one is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonour others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then this is what I want us to think about with regards to it. In John, Jesus says this in John 15, 12 to 13. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. As I said before, that verse on love always comes out in weddings. Love is patient, love is kind. But actually, it also in the Bible says God is love. So when you look at it that way, it says God with us is patient, he's kind. And we need to do that. We need to be patient and kind with each other. I don't know what your job is. I don't know what your role in life is. I don't know where you're going tomorrow if the snow's melted. I don't know what you're doing and what your life is. But I know that we need to be able to show people love. Especially today when on social media and in politics, you either that or that. There's no in between. People don't have a discussion. You're one or the other. And if you're not on my side, I don't like you. When all we need to show is a bit of patience, a bit of kindness. Sit down and talk with people. Find out why do they think what they think. Sit down and put your views to people. But have a discussion. Help each other understand. The next one is joy. We've had loads of joy over Christmas, but sometimes our joy, I don't want us to get joy and happiness mixed up. On Christmas Day, my son went through his presents, opening them really, really quickly. And then I bet if I asked him at the end, what did you get the first one, he wouldn't remember. But he enjoyed opening every single one of them, ripping it open. If you're like me, I take my time and I undo the sellotape and my kids just ripped it straight open. The joy is different than happiness. Happiness is something that comes in a moment. You might be happy that you've seen something. You might be happy that you've teamed one. You might be happy that your child has made something and gave it to you and said, look at this, and it's really nice, and it goes on your fridge for a week or two. Then the next thing comes up. But joy, or the joy of the Lord, in Nehemiah, it says it gives us strength. So sometimes when we aren't strong, we need to think of the things that God has done for us to help us have that strength. Because we need to think of the joy and get that strength through that. So, and sometimes we need to be strong for other people. I saw something the other day, and it was about marriage, actually. I didn't tell Liesl this. I didn't tell my wife this. She's the first time she's hearing it as well. It said, most people say marriage is 50-50, but it's not. Most relationships will be viewed as 50-50, but they're not. There's sometimes one person needs to do the 80%. There's one time somebody might be just, I have no percent, I need you to do 100%. But that's where our strength can come from the joy of the Lord. Because it was in Nehemiah, it says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some of those who have nothing prepared. So even then, when in Nehemiah, when they're saying, go and enjoy choice food and send some to those who have nothing prepared, it's still about sharing. It's not about just looking internal to ourselves. It's about giving something to somebody else. This is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You might need strength today. And sometimes if you haven't got that strength, go and ask someone or just say, I haven't got this today. Can you just help me out? Can you pray for me? Can you just be my strength for this season, for this day, for this week, for whatever? And then we can have actually people who are showing love. And you might think, actually, I've got quite a lot of joy at this moment in time. That's brilliant. Can you share that with people? Can you be a strength? Can you find strength for other people? The next one is peace. In John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I work in a Church of England school and I'm 42, and I've only just realised now why in the Church of England, when they say the peace be with you, I just used to think it was something they used to say in a service, in communion, peace be with you. And then people turn and go, also with you. And then when I read that last night, I kind of went, right, I get it. We're passing on peace to each other, saying it's okay. God's got this. Because it says in Philippians, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I just want to share a story at this point regarding peace. I knew this would happen. What are we on? January. In October, I didn't think it'd be like this. In October, my dad came to my house. And he sat, everything's fine, I don't know, I'm getting upset. He sat me down, me and Liesl, and he made sure the kids were in. And he told me that he'd been diagnosed with bowel cancer. And he is, we get it wrong because we celebrated his 70th birthday 1 year early once. So we always get his age wrong. But he didn't have the heart to tell us that we'd got it wrong. 78, if I'm wrong, he's 79. It's one or the other. And when you hear that word, when you hear your dad say, I've got bowel cancer, but he is so calm and just still. And then when I speak to him or when I phoned him, And I used to put my earphone in, and I used to walk the dog. I used to take the dog for a walk every day. And when we were younger, I used to walk the dog with my dad, especially if he wanted a word with me. Richard, come on, we're walking the dog. If he said, Richard, we're walking the dog, I knew he wanted to have a word with me about something. So like, all right. But I'd put my earphone in, and I'd phone my dad, and I'd just say, how are you doing? What's the news? And half the time, it was because Liesl would say to me, how's your dad, what's going on? I'd be like, we've not heard anything. Everything's fine. And every time I spoke to my dad, and when my dad sat me down and told us, he just said, I have a peace, a complete peace. And throughout all of it, there was lots of different stages. Obviously, he got diagnosed. Then they went for a scan and they said, it's growing. You need to be operated on. You've got to be operated on quite quickly. Otherwise, you're going to have real problems. When you're operated on, they might need a bag. You might need a stoma. You might need all this. You won't be able to drive for a long period of time. Now, my mum doesn't drive either at this moment in time. So if my dad can't drive, then... And my dad's always... He's a mechanic by trade, so he's always been on cars. So in his head, he was like, right, okay. But throughout of it, he was still, I've just got peace. Then towards the end of November, he had his operation at Wigan Hospital. The NHS, this might be a political statement, the NHS is ace. They did really amazing things for him. Went to Wigan Hospital, he's had his operation, all removed, no bag, no pain, no anything. When like I said, he's fine. Throughout all of it, every time I spoke to my dad, I've just got this peace, son. I've got a peace. Now, me and my brothers were like, right, you're going to go and do this. You're going to start this. Who's visiting him on this day? Who's visiting him on this day? And we're all probably not panicking, but getting stuff in place. And he's just like, no, I've got a peace. He's driving 2 months early. He said, as long as I can do an emergency stop, son, I'm okay. He's got an automatic, so it don't matter. He don't need his clutch and stuff. But throughout all that, I just think now, in future, I have to think about my dad and the peace that he demonstrated. And sometimes we need to demonstrate love, joy, peace for people who are watching us, for people who see us and for people how we are, and people think, what's different about them when they say they go to church and they say they're a Christian? What? They're just like me. They respond like me. We need sometimes just to show that little bit of a difference. Moving on. Goodness is next one. There was a theologian called James Byron Smith, and he said, goodness is something that works for the benefit or betterment of others. So we need to be good, do good for other people just because we can. Not because if I do this for you, you'll do this for me. Not because if I am kind to you or good to you, you'll get something in return. It says in the Bible, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In a world today where you look out your window and you've just got, or on the news or in the paper or on your phone, and there's just so much that is not good, be good. Where we get the opportunity, be good. Next one, faithfulness. And don't worry, I know I've jumped around a little bit and I've not gone in the order, and I'll explain why in a minute. In Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is confidence of what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. What are we hoping for? Do we still hope, or do we think, I've been hoping for this for years, but still nothing's happened? Still hope. Still have that hope in whatever you're wanting, because we know, and we sang it earlier on, when we look back, I think this is the words, when we look back, I see that you are faithful or able. So when we look back, we can see where our faithfulness has led to. Sometimes trying to be faithful in the moment is really, really hard. What's the point in this? I've waited years. What's the point? This isn't happening. But with regards to fruit, it takes time to grow. Fruit takes time to grow. You have to plant the seed. You have to water the seed. You have to hope the conditions are right at that time for that fruit to grow. And then for those of us who say we have faith, I want to just throw this out as a bit of a challenge for those of us who take it on. In James 2 verse 14, it says this, what good is this, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. What action are we doing to go with our faith? There's no point me saying, right, I'm going to think of one. I'm going to pray for my friends to come to church. And I just keep praying for them to come to church. If I don't ask them and give them the opportunity and put an action to what I'm thinking, then don't take this the wrong way. There's not much point me praying. I need to put something together with it. Now, God, if I just pray, God can answer it. Yes, he can. But we need to be able to do something as well. We need to be confident enough. We need to be, especially if we love these people and these are our friends, we need to be able to show this. And then the next three, I'm going to chuck together. And this is why I'll explain it. Patience, kindness, gentleness. In Colossians 3, go and read the full part of Colossians 3. I've just had to pick out some verses. Go and read the full part of Colossians 3. Because in my Bible, it says, living as those made alive in Christ. Because from verse 12, it says this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, bearing with each other is difficult, isn't it? Especially if they've wronged you, especially if they've annoyed you, especially if it's someone who you think you know better than that. But actually it says, bear with each other. And then it goes on to say, and forgive as God forgave you. Put on love, which binds it all together. When you read that, it says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Depending on what day you find me will depend how I have clothed myself. If I go to work, I have a uniform that I have to wear. If I'm at home, I'll just be in a pair of shorts and I won't have anything other than my normal clothes. Coming here today, I said to Liesl, and Liesl and my daughter, my eldest daughter is very opinionated about how I dress because she's at that age now where I'm embarrassing. Some of my kids, my son, he'll just put on shorts and not bother. He's, yeah, dad, I'm not bothered. Can I just get some clothes on and go and do? But when we put on clothing, for most of us, it's a choice about what we wear. We have to choose, right, I'm going to put that T-shirt on, that shorts, those socks, etc. So when we put on kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, and patience. Sometimes it's a choice that we have to choose in the morning. Right, today, I know I've got this group of people I have to interact with. God, please help me be patient. I know I'm going to deal with people today where I need to show kindness. Let me think now of putting kindness on before I leave the door, that it is an active choice. Going back to those dog walks with my dad, he used to say to me sometimes, if I make the decision in the moment, it's already too late. So it'd be a case of when I was younger, if my mates were smoking or whatever, if I hadn't predetermined in my head that my answer was going to be no, I'll see you in a bit, then if I was put on the spot, I might make the wrong choice. And sometimes we have to think, right, today I know my patience is going to be tested. I have four kids, my patience is tested a lot. I know my patience is going to be tested today. I need to put patience on now because of what's coming today. I need to put kindness on. I need to wear these things so I can make sure that I am okay and I can represent God well. Because there's no point me going to work and getting angry with people and snapping at people. I might have a bad day. I'm not saying that. But over a long period of time, if I am not showing the fruits of the Spirit, I need to ask myself, when was the last time I actually spent any time with God? When was the last time I read my Bible? When was the last time I put a CD on? CDs. Do you remember them? When was the last time I listened to some music or something that was useful for me? And sometimes it's really difficult because as people, we get really busy. And one of the things I do in my job is I work with parents. And sometimes one of the things I have to say to parents is, you need to make sure you can put your... On an aeroplane, I know it's quite macabre when I say it to parents. On an aeroplane, when it starts, if there's an accident or it starts to go and it says, put your own oxygen mask on first. So then you can help other people. Sometimes we just need to think, right, I need to just take a few minutes now so I can help myself. Because if I help myself for those 5 or 10 minutes in the morning on my way to work, in the car, listening to a podcast, listening to some worship, I know I'm going to be a better me today for other people who need that. I'm going to be able to just have that little moment of wisdom or that moment of peace or patience or kindness or love or self-control with other people who I'm interacting with. And then the final one, band, you can get up, please, if you want to. You don't have to, you can stay sat down, but it's more interesting for those at home online if you do. And then the final one, self-control. Self-control, another way of saying it, is discipline. And discipline's really hard. Sometimes it can be quite easy as a parent, you try and discipline your kids, but actually, if we can discipline ourselves, it says this in Hebrews 12, 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produced a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. When people are training for anything, and Cookie almost mentioned something similar to this last week, you need consistency. Consistency is a really boring word, but it's probably one of the most powerful things that people need. If we think about a gardening analogy for all these fruits that we've talked about, consistency is what will bring fruit. In a garden, consistency of going and just getting out those little weeds that keep popping up, the consistency of just turning the soil over, the consistency of being out there doing the right things all the time is what brings, as it says here, a harvest, even though it seems unpleasant at the time. We need to put the effort in. And then the last couple of things. I listened to a podcast the other day and it made me really stop and kind of think about things. And it says this, and when I was growing up, if anyone was to say this in my house, you got told off. And it's if you're taking the Lord's name in vain. So if someone stubbed a toe and you'd say something and you'd take the Lord's name in vain. On this podcast, it actually said, am I taking the Lord's name in vain by how I live? Not just because I stump my toe when I say something. But if I'm carrying the name of disciple, as Christian, as follower of Jesus, as a member of the Bridge Church, am I carrying that well? Or am I taking it in vain? As a form tutor at my school, when I was a form tutor, my form would be known as 7RH or 8RH or 9RH. And I used to say to them, when they come back to me and say they were in trouble with another member of staff, I'd say, what did you say? And oh, how did you say it? And I'd say to them, I give you permission to be rude when I'm rude, because you're carrying my name with you. You take my initials everywhere you go. And as a head of year, they take my initials essentially everywhere they go. So I want us again just to think, how do I carry myself? Am I taking the Lord's name in vain? Because I know I question it, and I know sometimes I probably think, you probably are, Roggy. You just need to have a word with yourself. So as I close, if you'd like to stand up, please, there's just one or two things I want us to think about. With regards to fruit and veg, I went down a rabbit hole on this one, like you can do. And I didn't used to believe it, but my granddad used to have a greenhouse, and he used to say in his greenhouse, if he spoke, or if he played music to these vegetables and the fruit or whatever, or he spoke good words, the fruit grew better. And I just used to think he was having a laugh. But there's I went down a rabbit hole. In a study conducted by the Royal Horticultural Society, research demonstrated that plants did respond to human voices. So how do we speak? How do you speak to yourself? How do you speak about your situation? Because I know lots of people are very self-deprecating and they talk down to themselves. And sometimes if the way I speak to myself, if I heard somebody else speak like I do to me, to somebody else, I'd probably pull them up on it. And I'd probably go, you shouldn't do that. So sometimes how do we talk about the fruit that we're having? Do we talk, I've lost my patience today. I've not showed loving. How can you be kind? You can't be kind. You've done this, you've done that, you've done the other. But if we talk positively to ourselves, because fruit, by its nature, reproduces itself. Seeds grow and reproduce themselves. But if we stop the seeds growing because of how we speak to each other or how we speak to ourselves, then we're limiting the fruit. We need to make sure that we can carry on. Fruit bears its own fruit. A farmer plants more seeds than it's expecting to grow. So we have to think about the parable of the sower scattering seeds, knowing that every seed that's scattered might not return. So if we're just very picky about who we show love to, very picky about who we show kindness to, we're limiting what we can scatter in by what we're doing. We need to choose on a daily basis to do this. And then finally, I'm going to finish with this and why the band starts playing. Jesus says in Matthew 17, verse 16 to 20, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. So this year, Bridge Church, online, watching in the snow, sat in your car because you couldn't get here, watching it on your phone, sat at home, watching it on a Wednesday or a Thursday, I really hope we can have a fruitful year. As individuals, as a church, as a community, as people, wherever you are. So whether you need to have fruit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, I hope we can be fruitful. Not because it makes us and our lives better, but like we've said there, it's about what we represent. It's about what we give to other people. It's about tomorrow morning when you get up, or Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning, thinking, today I need to be patient. I need to be kind. I need to show this opportunity to somebody. And if on your way to work someone cuts you up and you peep your horn and you shout at them, don't let that stop your patience and kindness for the rest of the day. Talk positively about what we can do. If you need to talk positively to each other, send someone a message in the morning. Say, you've got this today. If you know someone struggling and you can be their strength, say, I've got your 80% today. I'm just letting you know. I might not see you for 2 or 3 weeks, but today you're in my thoughts and my prayers. I've got you. Because then as a community, we can be stronger together, helping each other. Thank you very much.